The rest of us will jump into Luke chapter 1 if you open with me. Now, yesterday, talking to Amy, as what we're going to do tomorrow, so, you know, maybe we could watch a Christmas movie like Die Hard, and she said, it is. And nothing says, ho, 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 Merry Christmas, like a shoot 'em up at the airport. And she looked at me and said, or we can watch the movie that Josiah's girlfriend gave us. It's a Hallmark movie. Touched my heart. Thank you, Faith. It's going to be wonderful. And so it's that time. We have a good time. That was a good special. Good time of the year. So now we saw Ellie played a Christmas special for us. Stephanie did. Brooke Campbell and Amy did. Who's next? Need more, right? This is great. We love to. I'm preaching. I can't do specials. But if God's given you a talent, use it for Him. We've been seeing this for last bunch of weeks. When He blesses you with something, it is for His honor and His glory. So we would love to worship with you as you honor Him with your talents. And, you know, as we know, today is Christmas Eve. I really encourage tonight at 6 o'clock our candlelight service. The theme is hallelujah. Word we say in church a lot. But do you know what it means? Come back tonight. Let's look at the hallelujah in Scripture. And over the last few weeks, the series we've been looking at is Prepare for the Miraculous. Prepare for the Miraculous. We've seen Angel Gabriel approach some people. First off, he approached a man by the name of Zachariah, and told him the unbelievable, that his wife Elizabeth would have a baby. But if you remember, his wife Elizabeth was way past childbearing age, and she'd been barren all of her life. This was so physically impossible. But he prepared them because God was sending a blessing, and God was going to use this blessing for His honor. That baby's name was John the Baptist. We know as the forerunner of Jesus Christ, who prepared the people for the coming of the Messiah. Then we saw this angel approach a man by the name of Joseph. As Joseph was going through a struggle, a hard time in his life, he was broken trying to decide what to do because his fiancée was pregnant. And he had never touched her because he was a pure man. But this angel comforted Joseph, telling him this baby is a miracle. This baby is not of some man. God did not need some man for this miracle. That this baby is from God. He is God in the flesh, coming to save His people from their sins. And today we're going to see that this angel approaches a young lady, a teenage girl, and prepared her for a miracle. And this is the greatest miracle of all, the one we celebrate today. Too often we want miracles in our lives. We want God to really give us miracles, but He wants them to fall in our laps and not cost us anything. Not to have to walk by faith in obedience to God. Not trust God that He's going to use this for His good. Just perform a miracle. Drop it in my lap. I remember years ago a man telling me, I need to find a way to make a lot of money. We're all kind of there, aren't we? You find the magic trick. I said, you know what? And that was back in 2004 is when I started driving school buses. I said, you know, they need school buses, right? And he said, no. I meant a lot of money fast. You see, it's that idea sometimes, God, we don't want to walk by faith. We just want Him to dump miracles on our lives quickly, right? Those are nice. But God wants steps of faith, steps of obedience. We're going to see in this encounter today, this miracle that He was going to give to this young lady was scary. It would cost her a lot. It would cost her her dreams, her plans, her desires may be gone. It would require her to trust and obey. And it wasn't just taken away from her. when it became hard or a problem. She just had to cling on to him. But she did receive a miracle that she could have never asked for. Because remember, God can give us blessings beyond anything we could ask for, beyond anything we could imagine. Husbands, look at your wife right now and say, you're that miracle. If you didn't look at your wife and say that, I just gave you every opportunity. You're my miracle, baby. For you. We don't have to. Luke chapter 1. Go down to verse 26. And let's look at this encounter at a few parts of it. And in the sixth month of the angel, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this would be. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for being right here with us. Thank you for the celebration we have that you sent a Savior to this world. Lord, if there's someone here that's never placed faith in Jesus Christ, never humbled themselves to call out to you for salvation, this can be the day that they can truly celebrate Christmas. Understanding that Jesus is the greatest gift that you've ever given. Lord, I ask you to give me words to say to make clear your message today. We love you, Lord. In the name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. I know this isn't new, and I don't always just watch Christmas story for Christmas services because every year we would go through the same thing. And so trying to come up with new things, but it's been a while since we've directly walk through here in Luke chapter 1. I want to take a portion of this today and continue looking and preparing for the miraculous. And we'll notice the opening of our reading today. This was after 6 months. 6 months of what? Well, remember where he had already stopped? Zachariah said, your wife going to have a baby. This is 6 months later. Now, Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant with Zachariah, and the angel comes to Mary. The first thing I want to see is the person of God, in this case, Mary. A person was a young lady, a teenager, and we saw that the angel said in verse 30, she found favor with God. Let's stop and think about that for a little bit. Wouldn't that be awesome to hear God say of us? Ron, you found favor with God. Mary just heard these words delivered to her from a mighty angel that came directly from God. Now, he wasn't just saying, well, you're going to get some good presents for Christmas. Go look under the tree. Remember, they didn't celebrate Christmas yet. They celebrated that a Messiah would come, but not some special holiday like we do here. But she just found out she found favor with God, and what that meant was God was going to use her in a mighty way. We all want to find favor with God. I want to be God's favorite. What does that mean? Oh, God's going to give me miracles that I can't ask for. Yeah, it does. But he's going to use you in a way outside of your ideas, outside of your comfort zone. This is not how Mary would want to start out her life. She would not have chosen this. She would have never thought it could happen. But being found in the favor of God means she's living for God, and he's going to use her. He's going to bless her by serving him. But there's some who will overemphasize Mary. There are groups that will call her the mother of God, or also the co-redeemer. Some of you heard those terms. Let me just say this bluntly, is she's not. She's not the mother of God, and she has nothing to do with redemption. She is a vessel God chose to come to earth in the flesh. Jesus, who is called the Word, always existed. John 1 tells us this. Okay? Mary plays no part in his redemptive power and his payment for sins. He did that because of who he is. Mary herself was a sinner in need of a Savior, and she says that herself in her Magnificat, as we know it, in Luke 1:46 through 56, as she praises God, she calls herself in need of a Savior. And he sent this Savior to her. And she got to be a part of his incarnation. But also, I don't want to underemphasize Mary. Mary was a godly young lady. Simply a teenager. You with me? God chose a teenager. Some of y'all can go, well, my teenager does. Teens, God chose a teenager to give birth to his son, to God's incarnation. Ain't that cool? He didn't choose some church deacon. Sorry, Mark. You don't get to give birth to anybody. He didn't choose some lady that's been in a church for 50 years. He chose a godly teenager. You see the difference you can make in this church, guys? He chose a young lady who is living for him. She's a great example to each of us. And this young lady is through studies of the culture and all, because the Bible don't give us her exact age, she was probably closer to 13, 14 years old, as much as probably no more than 17 years old. She's a young lady. But you know what Paul told Pastor Timothy? He said, let no man despise your youth. Be an example of the believer in word, conversation, and charity, and spirit, and faith, and purity. He says, listen, this is by God. Because see, he didn't have to say to the old folks, like Jeremy. Because the older we're supposed to be maturing. He's already been taught to mature and to grow and be an example. But it's easy for us to count out the young ones. Oh, you just stay back and watch. You be quiet. No! You be an example. You live to honor Christ. And that's what Mary is doing. And God said, I choose you. I have favor on you. She's quite an example to all of us because God can use any. Any class, any, well, there's only two genders, FYI. He'll use any nationality. You see, God will use who he chooses to use. All of us can live in a godly life. And he chose this teenager. We see that godly young lady was, first off, she was espoused. Best we can compare it to is engaged. It's a step of marriage without the full benefits, if you will. They didn't have the sexual contact. But they were starting to make a home together. They weren't living together. She was still living with her parents until the day that he sent his men to pick her up and take her to the wedding feast. So they were engaged. But be a spouse in that time is a legal transaction. It's a commitment a father makes for his daughter, committing her to this man, and it would normally take place at 13 to 15 years old. But notice that two times, the one verse says that she is a virgin. She is untouched by man. Later, she confirms this herself, that she's not touched by a man. This is an important part of the story. Because we saw last week where this baby comes from. Not a man was needed. She knew no man. Guess what? Her mom and dad never had to teach her about the birds and the bees. Mamas and daddies in here saying, I wish I could have never had to teach my kid this. And if you got little kids, your day's coming. But make sure you teach them so school doesn't have to teach them. You make sure you teach them so the locker room don't teach them. You make sure you teach them so the TV don't teach them, so magazines don't teach them, the newspaper don't teach them. But you teach him why God has blessed him with this privilege and that there are boundaries to this privilege, to this honor. And Mary says, I've never touched a man. So God chose her. She was pure. The angel had told Joseph this baby was planted by the Holy Spirit. Because this baby is Emmanuel. He is God with us. God planted this baby. And the next thing we see is the power and purpose of God. The angel gives a great message to this young girl. I mean, how awesome would it be if an angel shows up, scares the gehebies out of you because he's bright and shining, he's from the glory of God, and now he gives you good news. Tell you what, when somebody shows up out of nowhere and he's shining, I'm listening to what he says, yeah? You with me? Speak. I'm no hurry no more. And so look at verse 30. And the angel said to her, probably the first thing he said, not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now I'm not going to break down all this today, but he made some big promises. God's going to use you in mighty ways. The verse says, fear not. Imagine a young lady, probably alone, was scared to death. We stopped by this week at Smirowski's house. The only one home was Courtney. And when she opened the door for Amy, who was standing there, you could tell this look on her face of, she had looked out the window and saw us. But when someone knocking on your door, and the closest thing to your house is a cemetery, and then you see this, I'm telling you, it wasn't a shining angel, was it? Well, that one was, but you know. But you imagine Mary here, all by herself, as a young lady, scared to death, and the angel says, fear not. What he's saying is, I'm not here to hurt you. I'm not here to bring punishment from God. I don't have bad news for you. Instead, I'm here with the opposite type of news. He says, you are favored. You are favored. You are favored. I have good news for you. God is sending a blessing. Often, what we see as a bad thing is actually a blessing from God. Now stop for a second, a pregnancy would destroy her dreams. You got to understand her culture. Culturally, she would be an outcast. Mary will be seen as a harlot or a prostitute, and no one would have anything to do with her again because she would be considered a dirty and nasty. Think about her family. They would disown her. She'd be the black sheep. Her friends would not associate with her anymore. They would break relationships, making them no longer her friends. And I'll tell you this about young girls. They don't even know how to go to the bathroom without friends. You women have to find friends to go to the bathroom together, don't you? I don't get it. So you put yourself in this girl's situation. She's got no more friends. She's got no more family. Society wants nothing to do with her. She's seen as nasty. And on top of that, her marriage could be canceled. Wow. Thank you for this blessing, God. And on top of that, legally, she could be killed. She could be stoned. Well, thank you, Lord, for this. You know what you're doing? But see, the angel from the glory of God says, fear not. You are favor from God. How is it a blessing? How is she favored? She's favored because of how God is going to use her. in great and awesome ways. He's going to use her, catch this, to give birth to the Messiah. The very one they've been waiting for throughout the whole Testament. Thousands of years. From Genesis chapter 3, when God said, listen, I'm going to send one that will bruise his heel, but he'll crush the skull of the serpent. Remember the one that brought sin into the world. They've been waiting for that promise, and Mary is favored with God, not because he's buying her a new donkey or a truck, whatever it was in that time, but because he was going to use her in a way she could never ask to be used. That is favor with God. She was going to give birth to the Messiah. The name given in verse 31, Jesus. Remember, it's not simply Jesus Christ. It's Jesus the Christ. Next time you want to use his name as foul language, stop and remember the Christ means Messiah, the anointed one. Don't use his name in a vulgar way, because his name is the name above all names. One day at his name every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is God. That he is Lord. That's the power of the name of the one she's about to give birth to. Is this a privilege? Is this favor with God? The angel says, he is the Son of the Highest. He is the seed of the Holy God. He is actually the second part of the Trinity. He is part of God. He is God. His kingdom, there shall be no end. All they knew of the kingdom, they understood as David being the greatest king of all times, not understanding David was warming up the seat that Jesus will come and fill one day as he comes and rules his earth. More curious about that, you should have been here for the study of Revelation. Amen? Rule, and it says that his kingdom shall be no end. Notice God uses people for his own purpose, for his own glory. Mary didn't decide how to be used. Well, God, you can use me for this ministry or that one, but I'm not comfortable over there. God is using her to fill his purpose, to fill his plan, to receive his deserved honor, his deserved glory. He's using her to bring birth to the one that will save man, that will destroy sin. And she is blessed by God. The blessing isn't financial. It isn't goosebumps. It wasn't health. It was intimacy with God. It was being used by God. She's blessed by God no matter what the task is. You and I are blessed to be used by God. Anybody out there? We are blessed to carry the name of Jesus. We are sent on a great commission to tell the world of a loving Savior. That is not a job, that is a privilege that we should naturally do everywhere. When I go to the store, I should represent Jesus. When I'm working outside of my yard, I should represent Jesus. When I'm in my garage working, I should represent Jesus. When I go visit someone's house, I should represent Jesus. His is the name I represent. Why? He purchased me with his holy blood. He gave me the privilege to represent him. Mary here has the privilege to carry his name. In Mary's case, she's going to carry the Savior of the world, God incarnate. But there's a problem. Mary goes, here's an issue here, little angel guy. Verse 34. And Mary said to the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know no man? She was a virgin. Covered that. Not touched by man. She, being young, knew enough to know that a man's usually involved in this type of thing. But notice here, she was not doubting as Zechariah did, and he was made mute for his doubt. She wanted to know how this is going to happen. Angel, I understand what you have just told me. Please explain a little more detailed here. How is this going to happen? She's not criticizing. She's not doubting. She's curious. I think you and I would be too. Especially if it was me. I mean, most of us guys would be like, there's a problem here. However, she's asking the Lord, how, angel? And the angel continues with his message here. Look at verse 34. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And look at verse 36. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Here's how it's going to happen, and you don't have to worry about details. Why? Because with God nothing shall be impossible. See, the work of God is always done by the power of God. In for a minute. The work of God is always done by the power of God. Well, I need to straighten up my life. No. No, you need to submit to God and lay hands. What do you mean by that? What's the difference? The difference is you come to know Him and you start submitting to His Word and trusting the way He tells us to live and let Him start transforming your heart, your desires, your passions, your ways. Because He's the one that began a good work in you through salvation. He's the one who will continue that until He returns, right? He's the one who will change. When we change ourselves, that's when we fall apart. That's when we go back to our problem. That's the reason that Paul said in Philippians 4:13, a verse that is so twisted, a verse that is misused so often. Paul, sitting in a prison cell, still honoring God, encouraging believers, teaching churches. He knew that only God has the power to fulfill His plan. Said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Why? I must be in Christ to fulfill His purpose, to do what He wants. We can do anything God calls us to. You can do anything God calls you to. Not your emotions, not your desires, but you can fulfill anything God calls you to do because He'll give you the power to do so. He'll give you the wisdom. He will teach you. He will use you. Why? Because He tells in 1 Corinthians, He uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. You ever looked at someone and said, wow, why them? Why am I a pastor? Because He chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Now that could hurt my feelings, or I could thank God for His power. Going into ministry was not my plan. It was not my goal. It was not my desire. He didn't leave me alone. I couldn't do this. Then He called me to pastor it. And I'm like, pastor, Lord. And you know I have no clue what I'm doing here. We'll praise God and worship God together, right? We're going to study God's Word together. And we're going to let Him use it. Why? Because He wants to use the foolish things. There's wiser guys. There's bigger guys. There's better guys. There's wiser men that know God's Word, got to memorize. But guess what? He didn't call them to pastor this church. He called Troublemaker Ron. I got kicked out of school 3 times. Why? He wants to confound the wise and show that it's His power, His work. This church ain't about me. It's about Jesus Christ. One of these days, I'm going to be gone. No amens. That was good. Gary's there for me. Well, it wasn't a contest. Now see how many say it more. But you know what? Christ will not. The Word of God will not. And it's up to you when I'm gone to make sure the Word of God remains. You see. God's power is what will do his work. Angel tells Mary, don't worry. God's going to do his work. He's going to place the Holy Seed within you. You didn't need some man to do it for you. God and his Spirit will do it. He's going to use you to carry, he says, the Holy Son of God. Mary, did you know? Yes, yeah, she knew. The angel just told her. Did she understand? She had no clue. But it's important to remember Isaiah's prophecy from 700 years before the birth of Jesus. In Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Now remember, Isaiah, a prophet of God, 700 years before this angel ever came and scared the Kahibis out of Mary, Isaiah says this, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, guess what the sign is? A virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. What does that mean? God with us. Who is Mary going to carry? The prophecy of Jesus Christ. Two times in verse 27, Mary is referred to by the angel as virgin, making a direct reference to this prophecy from 700 years before. A virgin will give birth to the Savior of the world. By now, we can see this miracle is not what Mary would have requested. Lord, I'd rather you work in my life in a different sort of way. That's probably what Mary would have said. Lord, this is going to interrupt all my plans, my desires. I'm not going to live where I want to live. I'm not going to do what I want to do. Because this promise of God, this miracle of God, is not easy for Mary. It's not going to make Mary popular and beloved. It's not going to bring her profits or money. It's going to cost Mary her dreams, her plans, and possibly her marriage, as far as she knows. And yet, look at Mary's reaction. The third point is the humility to God. The humility to God. Look at verse 38. And Mary said, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. That's just an amen. I take amens. And did you hear that? Mary said, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. The angel was done. He left. See, by faith, Mary accepted this task. She humbled herself as the handmaid, the servant, the slave. She recognized her position before God as a bondservant, choosing to serve God. She said, hold me, your servant. Use me, God. How often me, God, use me, or we use me, but not there, not there. Use me. No, 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 don't want to do that one. Use me, Lord. No, no, no. No. Use me, Lord, I want to minister. Not the kids. Hey, can I get an amen? That's hard. Lord, I want to serve and I want to worship. I want to help people. No, no, I don't want to pull trash. No. You see, we can do that. Lord, use me, I'll give you anything. Oh, no, I can't give to the church. Mary didn't do that. She said, Lord, behold your handmaid. It's a privilege, she's saying. It's an honor you look down upon me, Lord. It's a privilege that I get to serve you. She didn't ask for signs and wonders. Well, Lord, if you really think this is going to happen, make the dog bark three times. She didn't try to insert her opinions. Wives? No, I'm just kidding, all of us. You almost got in trouble here, didn't you? She didn't try to give her opinion. Well, Lord, I think it would work better if. No, she didn't. She said, behold your handmaid. She didn't laugh. You remember the Old Testament, Sarah did. She's in another room and she laughed. Yeah, right. No, she said, behold your handmaid. She didn't even criticize. Well, that's a stupid idea. Behold your handmaid is what she said. What a humble person of God does as he trusts God's word. And what did she say? Be it unto me according to thy, according to thy, according to thy word. Right there, verse 38. Be it unto me according to my to thy word. Whatever you said, I will trust. I will follow. From the mouth of God, he sent it through this angel. Mary says, according to your desire, according to your promise, no matter the discomfort, the fear, the cost, the change to my life, let it happen to me. She wasn't just calling herself a handmaid to feel spiritual. Lord, I'm your servant. I'll do whatever you want except for this, 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 and this. Right? She recognized her position. Said, you use me however you want, Lord. Mary was saying, not my will, but thy will be done. You remember who else prayed that? Jesus Christ. Just before he was arrested for his crucifixion. Remember when he was sweating blood? And he was crying? He said, Lord, but not my will, but thine will. Praying, speaking to the Father. I know what the will is to fulfill this plan. Not my will, but thine will. That's in Luke 22. He says that. The other end of his life. Mary gave up her own will, her own dreams, her own desires to do the will of God. She simply wanted to be obedient. She simply wanted to be obedient. Because she knew God had better plans for her. See, when we trust that God's ways are better than our ways, we can easily say, not my will, but your will. But when we doubt the power of God and doubt the love of God and doubt the mind of God, we start saying, I'm not sure about your way, Lord. But you know what? When we start drawing intimacy with God and we start trusting him and walking with him, it's more and more easy to say, not my ways. My ways I've messed up. My ways I've fallen. So not my ways, but thine ways. And if we're to continue, once she submitted to God's plan, God comforted her. And she traveled to go see her cousin Elizabeth. Remember, Elizabeth is now 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. And in her obedience and her love and her acceptance of God's calling and work in her life, she goes to visit Elizabeth, who is now pregnant with John the Baptist. And God, in his awesome love, confirms to her that she's doing the right thing. Because as Elizabeth hears Mary's voice, what happens? The baby, John the Baptist, leaps in the belly. Not some normal kick, but a leap that they knew it was the work of the Spirit of God. And Elizabeth turns and says this, to Mary in verse 42, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Mary did not have to tell Elizabeth anything that happened. Elizabeth knew because she was touched by the Spirit of God. This is a blessing from God. He's using you to bless the world. And now today, we stop and we celebrate this blessing that this represents, this reminds us of. Some of us are hesitant or resistant to God's blessings. We have a hard time saying, I trust your word. I have a hard time saying that I'm going to submit to what the word of God says. We don't want to submit and be obedient to all parts of God's inspired love letter to us. We want to run on emotions and run on our own wisdom. We'll trust our own plans and our own timings. We want to blame God when that falls apart. But the blessing of God comes through his word, comes through his power, comes through his timing, and it comes after your submission to him. So as we celebrate Christmas, let's remember the power to save man is only through Jesus Christ. Only Jesus came to save the world. He is the greatest miracle. Let me ask you, are you prepared for this miracle? Have you accepted this miracle? Because I say, are you prepared? Because this baby came once. We know it as the Advent. That means coming. You know why he came once? Because he's going to come again. Are you ready for him to come again? He comes again. He's not coming as a cute, innocent little baby. He's not coming with decorations and lights. He's coming with justice. He's coming with wrath. And he will destroy all sin. And those that are his enemy, those who have never placed faith in Jesus Christ, will be cast into the lake of fire. However, you can be prepared to be a part of this miracle by placing faith in Jesus Christ, by calling on his name for salvation, by recognizing that he is more than just a baby. He is more than just a holiday. He is the Savior of the world. And when we realize that and we call on him for salvation, then we start to live by faith. Then we can say, Lord, use your handmaid. Use your servant. Use your slave. Use your friend. Use the one that you purchased by your son, that the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for me. If you've never placed faith in Jesus Christ, I'd love to invite you. After church, I'd love to share with you how you can place faith in Jesus, how this Christmas can mean so much more to you because you placed faith in him. Would you stand with me? We're going to close in a song that hopefully represents our life. Because God calls us to obedience. We like to say we're people of faith. What does it mean to be people of faith? It means people of obedience. Often faith is referred to as a goosebump. I've got faith. No, you got ignorance. Do you have obedience? Are you submissive to the Word of God? Do you want to be guided by the Word of God? We want to love like God loved. We want to represent the name of Jesus. And then we're called to walk with him. And so let's sing together a song you might have heard before. Oh, come all you faithful.